Praise God. We're going to look at Galatians again today. Book of Galatians, chapter 3. And this is part 8. So we've been at this for a while. Today we're going to look at the curse and the cross. The curse and the cross. Now, last week we talked about they were saved, made righteous in God's sight without keeping the law. And we talked about, and we used the guitar as Abraham as an illustration. Adam lived back here. 2,000 years later, Abraham came on the scene. God made a covenant with him by a promise. 430 years after that, the law came into existence. And this is what the Jews were living by for over 1,500 years, almost closer to 16, I guess, but I keep saying 15, but 1,500 years or so, that they were living by the law. And at the end of the law, they said, there's none righteous, not a single one. So the law could not make you righteous. But he said, Abraham was righteous even before the law came into existence. So the argument that Paul's making, that you're not made righteous by keeping rules and trying to serve God, by keeping the Ten Commandments and all these different rules and rituals and ceremonies and celebrations and things like this. He said, you're saved, you're made righteous in God by righteous with God through faith. When you believe God, you know, what he said, that we put our trust in Jesus for us in the New Testament. We put our trust in what Jesus did. Abraham put his trust in God, that God was going to provide a sacrifice for the sin. And because of that, he said, because he believed God, God considered him righteous. And you read this in Genesis, you read it also in Romans chapter 4 and Galatians we talked about. So anyway, God declared him righteous. Now Jesus died over here, as you know, in the year, roughly around AD 32, 33, somewhere around there. Jesus died. Now we're 2,000 years beyond that. We're looking back to Jesus being crucified. Abraham was looking forward to him being crucified. We're looking back to him being crucified. So we left off last week asking, so why was the law even brought in the first place? We're not going to look at that today. I told you last week we would, but as I started studying the week, I thought, you know, and I just felt impressed to go back here again, because there's something here that I think the Holy Spirit wants us to see in this chapter before we look at that part of it there. We'll get into that. Well, it won't be next week now because Pastor Weller will be here, but the following week we'll get into why the law was given. But I want us to look at today the curse and the cross. The curse and the cross. And again, from Galatians, same passage, part of the passage that we read last week. Last week we did up to verse 18. But we're just going to look at these first few verses right here. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. And this is where we were at last week. And this is where we want to start off this morning. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. And before we go any farther, let's bow and ask God's direction before we look into this. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for redemption. And now, Lord, as we look into the Word of God, we ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding, that we would be able to see this and understand it and appreciate it more and live according to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here, Paul's saying, as many as are of the works of the law. Now, as I said last week, the law and grace cannot mix. It's like they say oil and water, you know, just won't mix. This was a totally different system over here in the law. I should go right here because that was Abraham. But right here, this was a totally different system than what Abraham lived by. Okay? Abraham was dead and gone before the Ten Commandments even came into existence. But yet God considered him righteous. Okay? Now, so Paul's saying, if you're trying to get righteous before God by keeping these rules and trying to live by a bunch of do's and don'ts and things like this, you're missing the whole point. He said, if you try to live there, he said, you are under a curse. Now, what does he mean by that, you're under a curse? If you go back, let's go on a little further here. He said, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, this came from the book of Deuteronomy, but we're not going to get back there again today. But the thing is, Paul's saying, and God is saying, and Paul was just quoting scripture from the Old Testament, if we can't live or let me back up and say, if we try to live right here by keeping all these rules, keeping all the commandments, keeping all the rituals, keeping all the ceremonies, I mean, we got people today that try to add on other things to salvation. And I'm not knocking that, because we've come from that ourselves sometimes, you know. And but Paul's saying, if we're trying to live right here, and well, James put it this way, he said, if you live by the law and you break one point in the law, God considers you guilty of breaking everything. See, when Jesus came on the scene, and I don't want to get into this too deep this morning because I want to touch on the curse of it, but when Jesus came on the scene, remember Jesus said, he said, you have heard has been said, but I say unto you. You've heard has been said, thou shalt not. And he said, but I say unto you. And what Jesus was doing, he was trying to explain to them, that the law wasn't a set of rules that God gave just necessary for you to live by or try to live by. He was talking about the principle that's behind all these things. Remember, even over in the book of John, he said, if you would hate your brother, God considers that the same as murder. So everything was on the inside, even though it was outward actions that you were doing. God wasn't necessarily looking at the outward actions. God was looking at why you're doing it from your heart. This is why Jesus said, he says, not the things that you put into your body that destroy you, is the things that come out. He said, within, he says, corruption and all kinds of evil. So it's not necessarily the things you put into your body that destroys you, he said, but it's the things that are already in there. So he gave the Ten Commandments to bring out and show us what was really inside of our hearts, that we just could not please God. We could not live as we should live. And this is why, you know, when Jesus said, you've heard has been said, and he gave a list of different things, and he said, but I say unto you, if you do this, you're guilty. And, you know, some people said, well, you know, I thought the New Testament was supposed to be easier. No, listen, God hates sin just as much today as he hated it back in the Old Testament. Okay, God hates sin. God never got easy on sin in the New Testament. You know, we look back at the Old Testament. Remember when Moses, back in the book of Genesis, or Exodus rather, when they came out of Egypt and God gave them the Ten Commandments, and God told them, you know, gave them the Ten Commandments, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Number four was, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And in it, in the Sabbath day, you should do no labor, no work whatsoever. Now, God made that, made it a law. Now, this is 430 years after Abraham, so Abraham never even had to live by that law. But God made this a law. And just a few days after, somebody saw someone on the Sabbath day going out, and the Bible says they're gathering sticks to make a fire. Now, if you don't understand how this all fits together, you think, man, God is pretty cruel. But just hold on for a minute. And somebody came to Moses, and they said, listen, we saw so-and-so out picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, and you told us we're not supposed to do that. What are we supposed to do? And Moses knew the punishment, and he went back to God. He said, now, God, what is the deal with this? You know, here's a man, he's out picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. What are we going to do with him? God said, take him and stone him, kill him. You think, man, is that the same God that we're talking about over in the New Testament? You know, why? Why is God like that? Did God change his mind? Is he all of a sudden nice over here, but he was in a bad mood that day? I mean, if we were talking about a human being, we could say that because we're fluctuating. But the Bible says, I am the Lord and I change not. So we can't say God changed, you know, just got kind of easy and he's a little bit easier to get along with now in his old age. You know, he's 4 or 5,000 years older now, so he's sort of calmed down a bit. Some of us got like that. But God, no, God is the same God today as he always has been. Remember the song we sing sometimes? So why was it God was so harsh back there and so loving over here? Well, let's look at another one. Jesus said, he said, you've heard that has been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said, I'm going to make it even harder on you. He said, if you even think about it in your mind, isn't that what he said? He said, you're guilty of it. Now, this is in the New Testament. So, you know, you look at it and say, what is the difference? You know, and the point is, this law, I told you I wouldn't get into it, but I'm okay, I'll just give you this and I'll go on. The law was given to show you, in your heart, you just could not live up to God's standards. God gave him some outward rules to live by, but really the problem is on the inside. If I'm driving on the highway, done this, and the speed limit is 100, and I'm going 120, I'm breaking the law. Now, in your older age, I will say this, you slow down. You don't feel like driving so fast anymore. You think, what's the rush? Get there 2 minutes earlier. Big deal. Enjoy life, you know. But in your younger years, you do stupid things. And, you know, I've been there. Still doing stupid things. But the thing is, over here in the New Testament, it seems like there's a totally different God that we're dealing with. But here's the difference. And I just put this in the middle of all that is the cross. Okay? Now, what is the wages of sin? Death. Right? The soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's what God said in the Old Testament, right? New Testament, the wages of sin is death. That's still the same thing. Only thing back there, no one died for sin. But the Bible says after Calvary, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, that Jesus tasted death for everyone. So now, when I sin, God is not going to kill me. He's already put his son to death in my behalf. You understand that? So over here, God doesn't have to be so harsh on me for sin, because that sin has already been paid for on Jesus. That's the difference. Over here, sin wasn't paid for, and every time somebody sinned, it had to be paid for one at a time. Okay? And when sin would take place, God had no other choice. And we'll touch on something. Well, let's move on, because I can get into a different message here altogether. It is written, curses everyone that continues not in all these things. If you try to live right here, Paul said, you got to stay there. You can't have this and this. We've tried that. We get saved by faith in Jesus. Then we try to tell people you got to get saved by faith in Jesus. But you keep saved by being baptized in the right way, by speaking in tongues, by paying your tithe, by, you know, all these different things. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying these things are wrong, but that's not what saves you. You understand that? And even if you're not baptized, you still get to heaven. You understand that? See, and we've been drilled in from that age up, you know, and there's a lot of people today. I was listening to somebody preach a while ago, and they were talking about in this particular denomination they're in, that they were baptized as a child. And I was as well. But, you know, that's just a religious thing that people do. But they're baptized as a child, and they had their baptismal certificate, and they thought this was their passport to heaven. You know, as long as I hold on to this, if I lose this, I'm in trouble. Now, how stupid is that? You know, you start thinking, here's God, you know, that knows everything. But if I don't have to, almost like you had to take a piece of paper to heaven with you and show you, say, listen, I've been baptized. I've got my passport. I've got my ticket. You know, we go to on a plane somewhere. You got to pass your passport and things like this. And they think they said they're going to get to heaven. And the fellow was talking about how somebody lost their baptismal certificate, and they're all nervous because I got to get baptized again. I got to do something. I got to get, you know, I got to get that piece of paper again because that's my passport to heaven. See, that's adding something to salvation. Jesus already paid over here. Jesus paid for everything for us. Anyway, he said, it is written in the book of the law to do them. You had to keep everything that was written in this book, the Old Covenant, you had to keep everything to every detail in order to be saved. And obviously nobody could do it. So therefore, they were under the curse of condemnation. Okay? Every last person failed. I told you this over and over. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul over in the New Testament. For the last 1,550-60 years, the law was in effect. Not one person ever lived righteous. Okay? Not one person ever made it to righteousness by keeping these rules. Let's move on. It is written. He said, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now remember, we talked, this is the law, and that's faith. The just means those that are right in God's eyes, those that are justified. The word justified means you're right standing with God. You're in right standing with God. You're made righteous. Okay? Now, he said, the justified ones, well, the law couldn't do it. So you can't be justified here in the law. Is this simple enough to understand? You cannot be justified here in the law. No one could live a good enough life to be justified by keeping all these rules. You're just over here living in what Jesus did by faith. Okay, you accept what Jesus did by faith. Now, so he said that no man or woman or child or anything else is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now, in each other's sight, we look pretty good sometimes. Man, I mean, I remember growing up, and you look at somebody and you respect them so much because you think, man, if there's anybody as God, he's that person. Anybody ever feel that over somebody? Right? And you look up to them and say, man, they're in church every Sunday, and they're doing this, and they're faithful in this, and they're doing that, and they're doing something else, and these are all good things. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we look at them and say, man, if anybody's going to get to heaven, when my father died, now he never went to church, but I can remember some of the men in that day. I was just a young fellow, 7, almost 8 years old, and we used to have over in Europe. We see this when we go over to Bulgaria and stuff like that. We see it. I don't know so much here in Canada so much, but you used to always have a day bed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? A day bed, a couch, it was just a single, like we call it, a twin bed, so to speak, a day bed in the kitchen, and these are big kitchen and tables there, and there's a day bed. And I can remember, I used to be just a young fellow, I get in, I lie down in by the wall, and be 4 or 5 men every night. People just go around, visit each other and stuff like that, and all the men were there talking and different things. And I can remember after my father died, and all the men were at the house, and the crowd of them were with my brothers and stuff like this. And they're all sitting there, and they said, my father's name was Mart, and everybody called him Mart. And they said, if anybody ever made it to heaven, it was Mart Lush. And because to them, I guess, now I can't remember, I was just a young fellow, but I can remember hearing him say that. But to them, I guess they thought, well, he's a good man. Although he never went to church or anything like that, but he's a good man. This was their understanding. Because they were looking at, on the outside, he looked justified, he looked right on the outside. But notice what Paul is saying here? No one is justified by the law in the sight of God. Matters not what you think of me or I think of you. God is the one we've got the answer to. So in God's eyes, no one is justified over here. Okay? Now, and sometimes you read in the scripture, according to the law, Paul said, I was blameless. Now, it doesn't mean to say that he never ever made a mistake, but in people's eyes, Paul kept the rules right to the T. He said, I was blameless. Instead of Zechariah, and Zacharias and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents, by the law they were blameless. Doesn't mean to say they never made a mistake, but they kept all the rules the best they could. Okay, but in God's sight, they still weren't justified by keeping those rules. Now, he said, it is evident. He said, because the just, those that are justified by God, has got to live over here in faith. Now, you should mark this here. When we did our Bible courses years ago, this is the verse that he told us to memorize, because this is the key verse to Galatians. This is the key verse to Galatians. This is the whole point of Galatians, that no one is saved by the law. The only way to get saved is by faith. That's basically what the book is about. Anyway, let's move on. And the law is not our faith. But he said, the man that doeth them shall live in them. Remember what James said again? He said, if you break one law, you're guilty of them all. James went on to explain that. He said, the same law that says, thou shalt not commit adultery, also says, thou shalt not kill. But he said, if you don't commit adultery, he said, but yet you kill someone, he said, you're still guilty of every other law as well. You're guilty of breaking everything. You read that here in the book of James. So he's saying, when we try to live by this law, we're putting ourselves under a curse, because it's absolutely impossible to live by it. So to live under here and try to make it, he said, is already settled. You'll never make it. You're under a curse. And the curse is eternal separation from God. Let's move on. I could get into each one of these. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Now, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we looked at a verse last week. I'm not going to look at it this morning, but I just give it to you quickly. Paul said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. That's what this verse is talking about in 1 Peter there. So we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. We're not redeemed by all these things over here. We're redeemed when Jesus shed his blood. Okay? Now, Abraham was redeemed back here because God told Abraham he's going to bless all nations through him, through his seed. And Abraham believed God. So Abraham put his faith in God's promise of salvation. And therefore God considered him righteous. This is why we talk about God gave the promise. God gave righteousness to Abraham by a promise. The law couldn't change it. Anyway, let's move on. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. It is written. Now, let's look back to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The fifth book in the Bible. This is what they call the books of the law. Theologians call this the books of the law, or the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. And this is the last one. Deuteronomy means to tell it over again, to do it the second time. So Moses, if you understand, Genesis starts out, he talks about the beginnings. Exodus is coming out of Egypt. Leviticus is a Levitical system when the priests were Levites, and it's called Leviticus. It's all the ceremonies and everything else that they had to go through. Numbers is when they numbered the people of Israel. And here in Deuteronomy, Moses, before he dies, Moses is just reiterating everything that they've gone through. Okay, now, so here Moses is telling him here, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. Now notice what Paul says here. It is written, and this is where it's written right here, the passage that we're going to read. Now this is what Paul is referring to. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Okay, if you hang on a tree, you're cursed in God's sight, in other words. Okay, let's read what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son. Anybody got that? Which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. Now this is under the law. You got to understand this. This is under the law. This is not today. This is under the law. Okay, so get that in your mind. Okay? If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, when they've tried to correct them, he will not hearken unto them. In other words, he won't listen to anything they're saying. We've all had times like that. Steve was like that, according to his own testimony. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city, unto the gate of his place. Now he says, his father and mother, once they've done everything they can to try to correct them and everything else, you're talking about tough love, you know, and once they've done everything in their power to try, this is under the old covenant, now don't get carried away with this, okay, but understand something. He said, when they've tried to chasten them, they've tried to correct them and everything else, and he just will not listen. He said, take a hold of him. He's almost like grabbed it, like it pulled you out. Take him out to the elders. This is the law courts. Okay, the gates of the city, I always talk about the authority, you know, the courts. Okay? He said, bring them out to the elders of the city unto the gate of this place, and they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. I want to ask you about that one. But anyway, he said, this, you know, you bring your petition, so to speak, before the elders of the city. You bring the complaints before the elders of the city. And the men of the city, now this is what I say, you got to understand, this is the old covenant. Sin wasn't paid for. Okay? Doesn't mean to say we still shouldn't have tough love sometimes. We need that sometimes. You know? But he said, and the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die. You think, wow, that's a bit harsh. But why would he do that? So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm going to say here, but we've become so easy on crime in our society that they can go out and they can do anything, and they get 2 nights in jail. And they know next week I can do it all over again because there's no law against this, and you know, and because of that, our society is falling apart. You know, now I'm not saying we should be doing it this way, but I think there should be some stricter laws on a lot of things. Anyway, let's move on. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, like we're just talking about, okay, and under the law that was worthy of death. See, here's again, if you're trying to live by the law, and you're a stubborn person, you will never make it. If you don't obey your parents, you'll never make it. You've broken the law. You know, the Bible talks about honor your father and your mother. It's one of the Ten Commandments. You know? And so, You can see that it's utterly impossible to keep every iota of that law 100% perfect all the time. But Paul said, if you choose that you're going to live there and try to please God by your own works, that's what you have to do. You have to be 100% every iota of the law. You've got to be 100% perfect for the rest of your life. From the time you were born to the time you die, never make one mistake. This is why you understand now you're under a curse, because it's absolutely impossible to do that. You're already born in sin before you had anything to do about it. Adam's sin was probably already in you, the Bible says. It was imputed to you. It was placed in you when you were born. You're already born in sin. So you never stood a chance from the beginning. You say, well, that's not fair. That's the whole point. No one could be made righteous by the law. Okay, let's move on. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death. Okay, now he's already dead by stoning. Remember, we just read that. If he committed a sin that's worthy of death, and he's put to death, notice what they had to do to him. Thou shalt hang him upon a tree. Now you get this. Now why would he hang him on a tree? Not to kill him, he's already dead. Just to make a public spectacle and say, this is what happens to sinners. And, well, let's read on. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. It's symbolic. It's a spectacle that the man was a sinner. He was killed. Even after he was dead, they took him and hung him up on a tree to show to the world, show to all Israel, that this person is cursed by God. And just to warn everyone else, this is how serious God takes sin. Now, let me say something again. God hates sin over here just as much as he hated it over there. But you see, well, let's move on. I don't want to give it all away. He said, he that is hanging on a tree is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee as an inheritance. Now, let's move on here, and I'm going to get through a few verses there quickly. So notice what he says. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. When the person was killed, he was hung upon a tree to show that he was cursed by God. That's how God took, how serious God took sin. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, God, the Father, made Jesus to be sin for me. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that I might be the righteousness of God in him. This is when Jesus took our curse. Let's move on. In Joshua, the book of Joshua, now remember when Moses died, the Bible says Joshua was Moses' servant, and God made him the leader. And God said to Joshua, he said, you're going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And Joshua went in. The first city to fall was Jericho. Remember that? The walls of Jericho went down flat. Joshua went in. He took the land of Jericho. Now, these are all pagan places that were sacrificing their children, doing everything else. God said, you got to clean this up. And he went in, and there was another city after that called Ai. And that's how it's spelled, Ai. And Joshua went in and took that one. And that was a bigger city and stronger forces and everything else. And the rest of the cities got nervous. And Hebron and Jerusalem and all these all started getting nervous. They said, man, we'll never stand against Joshua. So five kings band together and they said, let's join together and all of us go out and stop the Israelites from coming in any further. So they decided that's what they're going to do. They joined together, five kings and all their armies and everything else, gathered together and went out against Joshua. And the Bible says God worked for Joshua, gave Joshua the victory. Now notice this. And afterward Joshua smote them, the five kings, and slew them and hanged them upon five trees to show that these people were cursed by God. Okay, these were pagan people that sacrificed their children and everything, and he hung them upon a tree to show that they were cursed by God. He hung them up on trees, and they were hanging up on the trees until the evening. What did God tell the children of Israel to do? Don't let them stay up overnight, because that would keep a curse in the land. Get rid of it. It was cursed if you hung on a tree. Here's another one. Acts chapter 5 and verse 30. Peter was talking. He said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. He's talking to the Jewish leaders now, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. You see, he was made a curse. You understand this, how it's all fitting together now? Now, so he said, let's move on. Acts 10:39, same thing. He said, and we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, showing that he was cursed by God. You say, why would he be cursed by God? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both to God. Now he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. Remember, the Jews are over here, the Gentiles are over here. The Jews thought they could get to heaven by keeping all these rules, and God says you can't do it. Paul, if you read Romans chapter 1, Paul says, we concluded they're all under sin. The Jews knew the difference. The Gentiles didn't know anything about God whatsoever, but in God's sight, they're all sinners. So he said, there's no difference between the Jew or the Gentile. Remember there in Romans, Paul talks about it. So anyway, he says that God, that he might reconcile both, the Jew and the Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross. Well, the cross is a tree. We just read it. They hung Jesus upon a tree. Having slain the enmity or the battle that was going on between us and God. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things unto himself. God had Jesus hung on a tree so that Jesus could be accursed for the sins of the world. Now, and he said that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. This is the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. The law, it was pure, it was precious, it was holy, but it was against us because we couldn't live up to it. So he blotted out all these handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and he took it and he nailed it to the cross. So after the cross, we don't have to try to serve God by all these rules anymore. This is the point that Paul's making here. After the cross, we're not bound by all these rules anymore. Now, he said, taking it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. I read this in one of the commentaries, and I thought it was pretty good, so I put it here. What Christ suffered from men going to the cross was nothing compared to what he suffered for men, taking the curse for us. I've entitled the message, The Cross, or The Curse and the Cross. The curse, every last one of us were separated from God. Absolutely, absolutely no way that anyone from Adam's race would ever get in contact with God again. And the curse that we deserved right here because of every law that we broke, the curse that belonged to us, Jesus took upon himself. Even though he lived the law perfectly, he is the only one who ever lived the law totally, 100% perfectly. And because of that, he was declared righteous. But he took all my guilt, all my curse that I was supposed to take. And the Bible says God laid it upon him. And Jesus hung on the cross, signifying that he was cursed by God. Remember, the Bible says God had to turn his back upon him? When Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus cried and said, why have you forsaken me? Because all of a sudden, Jesus became the curse of every last person on the planet. Everything was laid upon Jesus. He became the curse on the cross. This is why we always talk about the cross. You know, and Paul said, I'll glory in the cross. He said, Paul went into Corinth, I think it was. He said, I desire to know nothing among you, all your problems and bickering and everything else. He said, except Jesus and him crucified. This is where the bottom line is at. Is Jesus and him crucified. So he said, everything that Jesus suffered from men, hanging on the cross, driving the nails in, beating him, whipping him, spitting in his face, plucking out his beard, all these different things, was nothing compared to the curse that he took upon himself and became our curse. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of Christ in him. God took all my sin, laid it upon Jesus, took all of his righteousness, and laid it upon me. Can't make it any clearer than that. That's the beauty. That's what Jesus did for us. That's the difference between the curse and the cross. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Okay? See, redeem means to be purchased out, to be rescued. Christ rescued me from the curse. I was supposed to take this curse because I broke this law over and over and over, and I'll continue to breaking it until the day I die. And you'll do the same. And we deserve that curse, but Christ redeemed me from this curse. How did he do it? By being made a curse himself. In other words, he hung on the cross as a curse one for all the sins of the world. That's why John the Baptist, when John was baptizing people and he saw Jesus walking along by the seashore, John pointed to him, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we need to understand what took place on the cross of Calvary. I mentioned, I guess it was in Newfoundland, the cross is the pivot point of all history. It's the pivot point of all history. If man had to continue on the way they were going, I don't think we would even have survived to where we're at today, mankind. God had to step in and put an end to the way that he had to judge sin. Because if he had to judge sin for everything that was going on, Billy Graham said what years ago, he said, if God soon don't judge the nations and everything else, he says, you're going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, because God had to deal with things back there. Notice how many times God says, he said, I've come down. He said, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I've come down to see how really bad it is. He said, it's come up before me. And the Bible talks about the Assyrians. And God said, their sin has not yet come to its fullness. But there's a certain point that God said, I can't put up with it anymore. And he would tell Israel, go in and destroy them. Because that sin would have went like a cancer through the world and wiped out mankind. And God had to stop it. Some people look at it and say, God is pretty cruel. No, God was merciful in doing that. Once you see the whole picture, God was merciful in doing that. And this, where it finally came to a place, Jesus himself decided to come down and pay the price for all the sin so that God could accept the sinner again. The cross took care of the curse.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange someday for a trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange.